when Jesus teaches us to pray, right? And you look at, you know, the catechisms, especially when it comes to the petitions and the Lord's Prayer. Well, what's the first petition? Our Father in heaven, right? Our Father, not my Father. Jesus mm-hmm. didn't teach me to pray my Father in heaven. He told me to pray our Father in heaven. That's expansive, right? I don't want to just proclaim God to be my Father. I don't want God to just be my Father. I want to acknowledge that God is our Father, and I want all people to acknowledge God as their Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Mm-hmm. I want his name to be hallowed, not just from my lips and in my life, but all people's lips, all people's lives, right? Mm-hmm. And then what do we pray? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if people are nervous about us, they ought to be nervous about that, right? If they're nervous about us, you know, sort of, you know, pointing this thing in a kind of direction, and there's this, you know, impact out there, what do those people do with the Lord's Prayer?
Amen.
Because those first three petitions are kingdom-minded and expansive, right? Amen. You can't even pray the way the Lord taught you without being kingdom-minded and expansive. My desire is that Christ would have the fullness of the reward for which he died.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And so I don't limit that. I'm not afraid that there might be too much Christian influence. I'm not afraid that there might be too much Lordship of Christ, right? In my life, in my family, in my community. I'm not afraid that I'll get to a point and I'll go, wait a minute, this is looking too influenced by Jesus here. You know, let's dial it back some. I'm not worried about that.
So the question is then, I mean, the way that we conduct business, the way that we go about educating our children, the way that we govern ourselves politically, the way that we produce fine arts or even common arts, are those things then, does the kingdom of God have something to say about those things?
Absolutely.
Are those things then, as Christians, and we're seeking God's will to be done in the way that I do my business, in the way that we govern ourselves politically, does the kingdom of God then shine through those things as God's people are engaged in those things?
It has to. What area of life would we say, no, God wouldn't be interested in that, right? There's not that, you know? And even when you talk about education, and for me, this is always, you know, been a big piece of this puzzle. I remember when it just kind of just dawned on me. It's Luke 6:40. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says nothing about education. The Bible says much about discipleship, right? It's always been understood that we have a responsibility to disciple the next generation. The way we think about education is informed by a model of education that is government oriented, right? It's the commercialization of discipleship. We're still committed to this idea that children come into this world and they have to be shaped, they have to be formed, they have to be molded. We've just gone from the idea that, you know, God gives us, you know, primarily families and churches that are, you know, doing this shaping and this molding, to now the idea that God primarily gives us government institutions to do this molding, right? And then we look back on the scriptures and we read that in, which is why people get uncomfortable when we talk about things like Christian education, or when we talk about the problems that we have with government education. I mean, people get really nervous when you start talking about that, right? But it has to do with this sort of upside down reading of the world the way that God gave it to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about the Lord's Prayer and 1 Timothy 2, prayer for kings, those in authority, that we might live quiet, peaceful lives with dignity and reverence. If we pray for something, should we not try to use whatever God's put in our hands to work for that as well?
Amen.
I mean, it just seems like sometimes this misguided notion of piety says, no, it's hands off over there. Let's pray for kings and those in authority, but let's don't try to become kings and those in authority.
Yeah, you know, not to date this, but didn't we just see that debate with the school shooting in Minnesota.
Absolutely.
With the people who are like, yeah, thoughts and prayers. You know, you guys want thoughts and prayers, and but what we want is we want actions. That's that same idea, right? Mm-hmm. That somehow saying that we're committed to praying about something is tantamount to saying we're committed to not acting right. on mm-hmm. something, right? To just sitting there passively and waiting and hoping that, you know, that something happens. That's not biblical.
No, mm-hmm. it's not. And, you know, you see in that, too, everybody runs to their gods in crisis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the godless run to the government.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We need to do something. We need laws.
Yeah.
We need legislators to do something.
Yeah.
You know, stop your little prayers over there. And Christians can't be duped by that.
No, you know what? I was thinking about this as well. I think that's part of our problem also with the people who get nervous about this. Go back to the education thing, right? Education, that's a function of the government. Everything is a function of the government. So if your kingdom is the government, right? If the government is responsible for morality, if the government is responsible for, you know, fill in the blank, right? All of that stuff. Well, then anytime Christians start talking about having an impact in any way, your assumption is always going to be that they are trying to take over the levers of government, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If government is the only means by which we believe that these things happen and people start talking about doing ABC and XYZ, then what they have to mean is taking over the levers of power in the government. Well, that's actually, you know, you're deflecting there. I mean, you're projecting. Actually, that's projection. You know, no, you believe that the government has all power and all authority, which is why you believe anytime we want to talk about any of these things, we have to be trying to take the government and make it do it for us. We don't believe that.
Yeah, right.
We don't believe that the government has all power and all authority. Therefore, we do not believe that having impact in a culture requires that we take over the levers of power in the government.
But I'll take it.
Absolutely.
And here's a question that has made people nervous as well, is do you believe that governors, kings, presidents have an obligation to do Jesus's will on earth? And it's, oh, no. You know, they're thinking exactly the same way there. No, absolutely they do.
Yeah, they absolutely do.
It's just Jesus' will for the king is different than Jesus' will for the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you just understand that.
Yeah.
They got a lane.
Yeah.
And Jesus calls the governors to stay in their lane to do their job as one that has been given authority by him to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, these things
Sphere are. Sovereignty, man. Sphere sovereignty. Yeah. You know, and that to go back to the educational issue, this has been my thing. You know, for decades, there's a sphere sovereignty problem. When you look at the spheres and then you look at what education is, we've got the wrong sphere being sovereign over education.
That's right.
Mm. Right? The one sphere that education wasn't given to is the sphere that's now exercising sovereignty over education.
Yeah.
That's upside down.